That was not David Bernabeu, but he's going to be performing in just a moment. Good morning to Matt. Just thought I'd say hello to you and let you know that your text made it through. And good morning to you, and thank you for being here and part of the Saturday Light Brigade. This is fun for me because perhaps like you, I've not had a chance to hear David's music as of yet. However, people who I've spoken to have just told me some great things about what David has done, fusing jazz and pop and occasionally some electronic instruments in addition to piano and guitar. And you have to love a guy who has recorded his latest release both on CD but also on vinyl. There it is, right? You know, a real 33 1/3 RPM record, still manufactured, and absolutely, again, a beautiful art package. We'll talk and learn more about David in just a moment, but first, let's take a listen. Here's David Bernabeu. David Bernabeu at the Saturday Light Brigade. And David, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I need to know all sorts of things, and I didn't want to ask you any of those things till we had a chance to have the rest of the audience here with us. Tell me about yourself, where you're from, and we haven't had a chance to meet, and I'm curious just to get to know you.
I guess I'm a lifelong Pittsburgher. Grew up in Greenfield and then North Hills. And I've been doing music for about the past 10 years here.
And when did you start? Were you playing? Did you start back when you were in high school still with guitar?
I took classical piano in second grade with Marta Sanchez, who also taught at CMU. By fifth grade, I picked up a guitar, and the piano kind of fell by the wayside because I wanted to learn classic rock tunes or whatnot. And then high school, the piano started coming back and started getting more into my own composition. And then I set at the age of 18 or 19, that's when I started making serious music, and that it wasn't horrible.
And were you playing out at that young of an age?
Right out of high school, my AP English teacher had a band called Box Step, and I joined, I think, the first semester of my college career.
Where did you go to school?
Carnegie Mellon.
And studying?
Finance, business administration.
Oh, perfect. The musician that could figure all that out. What, the Tepper School, I guess?
It was pre-Tepper, but I think Tepper came on the last year I was there.
When did you graduate, if you mind my asking?
2005.
Okay, well, that's way beyond. Tepper came on after I was there, too,
but oh, yes.
about 20 years. Well, it's good to have you here. How would you describe your music? The answer is just listen to it and come up with your own description. But if you were booking yourself to a club or getting ready to put together, you know, a date with somebody else, is there a succinct way that you describe what you do?
I'm always interested in pop music. But I do a lot of improvisation and some experimental music. So I always like to subvert whatever pop songs I'm doing with some more out there tendencies. And that was a goal of my music for a while. And then now I'm getting more into just having a greater harmonic value to everything that I do. So instead of, like, say you have your major triad chord, you have a root note, a third, and a fifth. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add, you know, a sixth and a second and a ninth to almost everything I do, and that's going to be a trap at some point, but I'm interested in broadening, combining music theory with, you know, something you could shake your head to.
Yeah, the song you played, in fact, and I don't have a strong music theory background, but there were a lot of undertones and almost suddenly appearing notes that you were barely playing, yet they rose up in between the notes and was kind of fun. Yeah. And I don't know if that's the theory behind what I was hearing in that song.
But. Oh, yeah. Well, this song is actually from 2006, but we re-recorded for a record that's coming out next year. And it acts as a bit of a model of how I want to compose now.
Cool. What was the name of it?
In Hell.
In Hell.
Yeah.
Okay. And that goes back, what, four years?
About four years, yeah.
Great. David Bernabeu is here. I want to ask you a little bit about improvisation in a second, but what would you like to play next?
Maybe I'll play a nice tune, and then I'll do an improvised tune after that.
Oh, cool. Once again, David Bernabeu, what's this one called?
I'm Yours. Yours, you're mine. I know it happens all the time, but I'm yours, you're mine. I want to see how we live together. We can get old together. I saw you at the paint party. I saw that you were looking at me. It was nice. Well, I'm yours, you're mine. I know it happens all the time, but I'm yours, you're mine. I wanna see how we act together. We can get fat together. I saw you at the paint party. I saw that you were looking at me, it was nice.
Was really nice. When did you write that?
That's back in 2006. I'll play some newer stuff soon.
Did you? That's okay. Did you have somebody in mind when you wrote that?
I met my wife around that time. I mean, that's when we were dating. We didn't get married immediately.
Now, you realize my show notes here, I just wrote down, In Hell, I'm Yours.
Not related.
Okay. I was going to say, and the next song is called Just Kidding.
Yeah.
That's really a pretty song. Tell me, now improvisation, a lot of people, when they think of pop, don't think of improvisation. Mm-hmm. Pop is more kind of formulaic and rote, and they think more of jazz with improv. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious how you came about your fondness for improv, and it's not always that easy to do. You typically play alone, or do you have a band?
I'm in about five or six groups. Okay. This is actually the first solo gig I've had in many months.
Okay. Well, tell me just a little bit about the value of improv from your perspective.
I think the thing I like about it is that you can have a performance and you can perform the same pieces over and over again, but each time there'll be something new for the audience to listen to, something new for the group of musicians to interact with. And I like that constantly changing aspect of it, because as you keep going with music, you keep growing. And you keep wanting to add new elements to the music that you're making. And allowing sections within a song or an entire piece to be improvised, you're allowing yourself that room to keep growing.
Yeah, and it takes some courage, I think.
Yeah.
And also some good structure to what you're doing to give you the room to improvise. And audiences can really impact the performer, can't they?
Oh, definitely.
I don't know if any – I'm sure you've got some memories of live performances where the audience really made a difference in the way you were playing.
Yeah, or lack of audience.
Yeah. it can change.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all mindset too, but it works pretty well. Who – in terms of I know you like jazz as well – are there particular genres of jazz that you especially like, or subgenres?
I thought maybe in the past 10, 15 years, a lot of interesting things have happened in Chicago. Ken Vandermark, that kind of group of people, and then there's a bit of a younger group of people, kind of combining modern chamber classical music with jazz.
Yeah.
Also the lately the New York downtown scene. Some John Hollenbeck and some other folks. Very interesting compositions with room for improvisation. And I guess my favorite jazz record is Charles Mingus, Black Saint and the Sinner Lady.
Oh, that's a good album.
Just kind of a crushing record.
Yeah, it's a tremendous album. It is interesting to see so much. It's delightful to see so much crossing of genres and willingness. And I think some of it is due to the age we live in now, where people have access to so many different kinds of music.
Exactly.
And if you're just joining us, David Bernabo is here, and you have a song that, not that you're here to demonstrate, but there's some improv in what you're about to do, or a song that leaves, I'm sure that there's room for improv in anything that you do, but what's this one called?
This is called The Fourth River. It's for a project I'm doing for a Chicago label, and I think we'll actually be involving some of the listeners currently.
Okay.
And maybe some students at CMU in photography. We're going to look into that.
Oh, excellent.
But it's about the underground river that runs under Pittsburgh. It's actually an aquifer.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. Yeah, there is the river, or the aquifer feeds the fountain,
exactly,
or at least in part feeds the fountain. Well, here again, David Bernabo. Thank you. like, you know, the combination of finger picking and then some of these strong chords and just kind of can't think of the right word for it, but the grounding kind of that ends up behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have anything electronic with you today.
No.
But do you incorporate some other, you know, amps or tricks or any?
Oh, yeah. I mean, live, I'll play with electric guitar or electric piano in some bands. I have some friends who make electronics, and they've been nice enough to give me or sell me some electronics. I didn't want to bring them in case I thought there might be kids, and there's some potential for shock.
Yeah, well, so, that's what I heard. And tell me about what these, because these sound like they're beyond the typical amplifier or effects or looper.
Yeah, there's one called, most people refer to it as a crackle box, and I think how it works, and I may be wrong, but the current kind of runs through your body, and you put your fingers on these metal bits, and the current runs through and connects and then makes different sounds based on that.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
My friend Michael Johnson actually teaches a class at Pittsburgh Center for the Arts on how to make these.
I know Michael well, and I could see Michael doing just that.
Yeah.
So it's almost like when we were kids, the Van de Graaff generator experiment where you would touch and it would make your hair stand on end. But here you're making music instead of causing your hair to stand
probably
on end.
Probably making your audience stand on end.
Are there other things like other similar instruments that you add?
I mean, there's some guitar effects pedals. One is Red Witch. It's handmade in Australia. And it's a distortion pedal. It sounds like 70s fuzz, but there's also capabilities with that pedal to create kind of sine waves. So you can modify basically sine waves in a live performance.
So you're really in, I mean, the technical aspect of all of this really means a lot to you. The music theory behind it, not to take a sidestep to the artistic part, but you're really thinking about I guess the algorithms behind the music.
Well, when I started, it was mainly on feeling. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I mean, you can do feeling all your life, I guess, but there's some other things interest me. And I want to be able to grow as a musician and incorporate other things.
Why vinyl?
Oh, I don't know. I concentrate more when I listen to records. Mm-hmm. It's also a bit of a fad now, I guess. It's coming back. It just seems something that's lasting more. I know a lot of people are just selling all their CDs, digitizing it, and keeping their vinyl.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, David Bernabeu and Assembly, it's called, and it's Happener Magic Cur.
Yes.
And he's released this on CD, but also on vinyl. And I think the better way to say it, he's released it on vinyl, and there's a CD. I think the vinyl is probably the main product. And I know these days that the one thing about vinyl is, you know, everybody's is different. Once the ownership, once it's sold by the musician to you, yours is different from the person who bought it, you know, that was in line in front of you, unlike CDs, which pretty much stay the same. Mm-hmm. And I've always liked vinyl. We don't use as much here as we used to just because it just gets a little easier. But I can remember playing songs and literally feeling like the artist was getting more tired the more time I was playing it. Like if I played it – I used to have this Mark Almond Band CD and if I played it too many times in a day, it was like the guy was getting more and more tired.
Either that or you had a belt problem on your player.
Yeah. Well, then you'd put it away and then you'd put it back on and he'd sound, you know, refreshed again. But I think it's cool that you did it this way. It's 11:35. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio. David Bernabeu is here. Thank you for being with us the weekend before Thanksgiving. We've got a couple more songs, I think, that we're going to do. And what's this one?
This is called Protopack. It's an adaptation of a more electronic song that I did for acoustic guitar.
Great. Here again, David Bernabeu.
says, well, it's not mine. Flies all down that road again and says, well, it's not mine. Big old dance beats bring notices. Big notices. Big notices.
David Bernabe, that one really showed off your guitar playing. Are you self-taught?
Oh, thank you. I had some lessons. I learned Led Zeppelin tunes, and we got into jazz. Then I took some upright bass lessons for jazz, and then I kind of stopped lessons.
Yeah, the hammering you were doing there in the frets was really fun to watch and to listen to. What is the guitar that you're playing? I can't see it real well.
That's a good question. I think it's a Goya. It's my dad's guitar. Like most of my guitars are.
Yeah, the neck is really interesting. I haven't seen the way it's cut into the sound hole.
Oh, yeah.
Coming down as far, but it sounds really good.
Yeah, that classic guitar. It has the nylon strings. So.
Yeah, called a dreadnought style when the head's
that
open
sounds
like
right.
That. Yeah. I should know these things. My brother is a professional guitarist.
Oh, nice.
And has been one for years, and he's taught me all this terminology, which I promptly forget. I'm not sure if it really matters. But the next song has piano on it. We're going to make a little change as we get ready to feature David Bernabe for one last song. It's 20 minutes now before 12 noon, and we'll make just a couple little changes. It's been a real pleasure to have David here, and the best website to go to, I'm thinking, is probably, is it the record label, sortofrecords.com, or David, is there a personal, we'll get the website information in just a minute. Pretty sure we've linked to it, actually. If you go to slbradio.org, like I'm doing right this moment, it will reveal that davidbernabe.com is the place to go.
That's right.
Could you tell that I was just sort of babbling until David's mic was on? But that's exactly what was going on. David, thank you for being here. It's been really fun to listen. Are you playing out anywhere where people can hear you?
Yeah, actually, I have a lot of shows. So it's good you asked. December 4th, I'm doing another solo thing at Gooskies in Polish Hill. My band Assembly is playing Brillo Box on December 10th. And then I have a modern classical improvisation. It's not my group, but I play in it, called The Outer Circle. And we'll be playing in a basement in Greenfield on December 17th.
What a fun website, too, by the way.
Thanks.
If you go to David Bernabe, Bernabo, .com, or if you're having trouble, if you're driving, just go to our website, slbradio.org. I know you have it bookmarked, and you'll be able to get to David's site. Thank you for being here. What's this one called?
This is the last song I wrote. Hopefully not the last,
but the most recent.
The latest. And this will be for a record that's coming out on vinyl and limited CD.
So a new one coming out soon. And it's called?
No, It Ain't Right.
No, It Ain't Right.
Yep.
So once again, with our thanks, David Bernaba.
Thank you.
Got eyes in the back and it's going down. And I rise and I fight and I know it's alright. You know it ain't right. How to do us up. So you just might push them down low till they feel the ground. You know it's all they got. What's up on the morrow down? Got eyes, cold shoulders, and buckled down. Then I rise and I fight, and you know it's alright. You know it ain't right. How they fill us up. So you just might down low till they feel the ground. You know it's all they got.
David Bernabo, just a terrifically versatile artist. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much.